I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Welcome to My Vagina. This is Jessie Caron.
And this is Rebecca Frank. And here we are again, having our current hysterical, and infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina-having organisms.
I'll cut it a bit about the spot, but probably research is getting fools. It's definitely researched.
Beep, beep, boop.
Today, we are going to play... Today, we're going to play a game with Nicole, who created Vagina Parties.
It's super fun.
And then...
Oh, and then we're going to talk about the clitoris.
Let's get clitorate. And then...
Then we're going to talk to Nicole again all about how and why she started Vagina Parties in the first place. So stick around until the end to find out her origin story.
Yeah, she's dope as fuck. Yeah, also... please remember to empty all of your pockets into our glow.fm/welcome to my vagina.
It really helps.
Vote.
Yeah, tomorrow, we know a lot of states have early voting, so if you already voted, awesome.
Congratulations.
But congratulations, you're a rock star. But tomorrow, November 5th, is a voting day. And so we just want to remind you that just because it might not be a presidential election this year, these smaller elections really matter. And so check out your ballot questions, do a little bit of research. In New York, you can check out New York Times website has a good one, WNYC as well, and the handy dandy voter guides.
Hey!
So do your research, do some voting.
Vote.
New York City, especially look at ballot question number one.
And thank you to all of our guests who have written in for asking us questions and giving us topics, and also for everyone who's kind of given us the reassurance that we desperately need.
Yeah, so a super special shout out to Molly Cunningham, Jonathan Steele, and Maria Fernanda Abreu, who all wrote us super encouraging messages recently that warmed our hearts.
Yeah, we really appreciate the feedback.
Yeah.
Cool, let's play this game.
Okay, so this game is called Resist. It comes in two different forms. There's the period special edition and then the original edition, and it's played just like Taboo. So there's words that you can't say, and
like the taboo, like double, double entendre.
Yes, yes. Okay, so we'll do a couple. Okay, so this first one is a nickname for your vulva. It is
Catherine.
A type. What?
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's a type of cuisine that is found south of North America. Yes, and it also has a certain tint to it.
Oh.
It's related to red. So it's not a red taco. It's a...
Oh, pink taco.
Yes. Yes. Okay, here's another one. So this comes... at the finale of intercourse, but is not limited to the finale. This can be brought on with oral stimulation.
Oh, yeah, thought that, and I didn't know if that was part of it. I know, I'm sorry.
Middle of your boob.
Middle of your boob? Nipple.
So this other one is... This is also a vulva nickname. It is named after some fauna that ensnares insects. But
no,
right. But instead of the planet, it mentions a boy part.
Penis. Flytrap.
Penis flytrap. Yes. Okay. Last one. Last one. This is something that you wear when it is chilly out on your head. And it was this particular type of thing was made famous during a global.
Pussy hat.
So you can find me at Vagina Party on Instagram. And then there's an Etsy store called Vagina Parties where you can find all the things that you need for the party: decorations, games, the full party packages, buttons for prizes. So
cute.
Anything you need.
Do you have ribbons? Store.
Do I have a ribbon? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Do you have like vulva ribbons? Like first place, second place?
Oh, no. So a lot of the party, so when you download a party package, you get not just the games, but you get the possible discussion questions and you get the details for how to do the creative component.
Mm-hmm.
And then attached to all of that is possible DIY. So there I'm not, but yeah. There are directions on how to make your own ribbons. And I have done those.
Thank you so much for coming
Thank
on.
Thank you so much for asking me. I love your show. It's so fun and informative.
Yeah, I want to have a vagina party now.
Love you. Okay. It's only purpose is sex stuff, so the good times never stop. It's the CLITORIS.
Ready? Am I? Yes, I'm ready.
Clitoris, go.
Okay, so let's get clitorate, okay? About the clitoris.
We the clitorati.
Of course. I'm very excited. The most misunderstood part of the human body. The clitoris depicts not just the tip you can see above the surface, but the entire organ, which has 18 different interconnected parts of muscle, nerves, and erectile tissue beneath the surface. How cool is that?
That is really fucking cool.
Okay, so the clitoris, which looks like a little man or person on a boat, is part of biosex female and some intersex reproductive systems. Yes, it's sensitive to touch. Get down there. Mm-hmm. It gets erections, and when stimulated, can lead to orgasm. Clitorises range from 7 to 12 centimeters in length, and they can swell by 50 to 300% when engorged, when aroused. Whoa.
Wow. That's so big.
It's so big. The clitoral glands is the little button that you see at the top of the vulva, and there is a clitoral hood, kind of like the sailor hat, that protects it. Like mm-hmm. the clitoris, like if the clitoris was a stormtrooper going into battle. I know Rebecca doesn't get that, but other people will.
I totally don't. The worst at movies.
It's a Star Wars reference.
I know what it was referencing. For fuck's sake.
Jesus,
give
I'm
me
not...
a little bit of credit here.
With pop culture? No.
The tiniest little bit, like a nib.
Okay,
just
fine.
The tip.
Just the tip. Like the tip of the clitoris.
Exactly.
The hood is called the prepuce, and under the hood is the shaft. Take that, penis havers. Sizing yeah, contest, right. You and me. Kidding, size doesn't matter. Moving on. Most of the clitoris is actually subterranean, found within the pelvis. The shaft separates into two crura that attach to the pubic bone. That's right. The clitoris just keeps on going.
It makes me think of krupas.
Ooh, what are krupas?
You know krupas from Mario?
Oh!
The krupas? Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so the clitoris just keeps going. It's not just a button. Most of the clitoris is inside of you, and it looks like a wishbone, kind of.
It does look like a wishbone.
Yeah. What's the story, wishbone?
What's this you're dreaming of? Which are there for luck.
I love them.
And if you're lucky, I'll let you play with my clitoris. Right?
Nice.
Thanks.
When at rest, the arms or corpora cavernosa of the clitoris body extend straight out toward your thighs when you're aroused, which I didn't know.
I didn't either. I just learned it right now.
But they curl around and give your internal, like, they like, hug the vaginal canal.
Yeah.
It's like a hug.
That's so nice.
The blood vessels and nerve fibers connect to other sexual organs, stimulating the urethra, vagina, and anus. It also stimulates the clit and vice versa.
Wow. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Makes the dream work.
What about the bulbs? The vestibular bulbs? The bulbs and the crura contain erectile tissue that swells with blood during sexual arousal. And through the swelling on either side of the vaginal canal, they can increase lubrication in the vagina, which increases sexual stimulation and sensation.
True.
The tissue can also cause pressure to be applied towards the front of the vaginal canal.
Yeah. The clitoris has twice as many nerve endings as the penis, even though they're made from the same embryonic tissues. The clit is also more sensitive than the tongue and fingertips. It's a great place to touch, but it's usually best to use the hood to indirectly massage the clit underneath because there's 8,000 nerve endings.
That's a ton of nerve
endings.
That's
so much. Rubbing, directly on it might be too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Can be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Also, did you know that the clit might change size over the course of your life?
Yes.
I didn't know that until we did this research. So I learned that. It's a little bit sad because as we approach and go through menopause, it's common to have some degree of vulvo-vaginal atrophy, which I really just get rid of that word for fuck's sake. But the clitoris gets smaller. But that doesn't mean that you can't orgasm after menopause.
True. Yes.
We talked with Dr. Lori Petito about that. She has a book. You should read it.
You just got to get not creative because it's not that hard. But, we don't teach people enough. So there are ways to do it. And I guess you do have to get a little bit more creative, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Sex is about creativity.
Exactly.
Also, did you know it is the only part of the human body, the clitoris, that never ages? An 80-year-old clit looks and works the same as a 20-year-old clit. But it keeps growing. This is according to Sophia Wallace's thing.
Interesting.
It could be 2.5 times as big in your 90s as it was in your teen years. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, but the thing about it.
Well, everything changes. So.
And it could be different for every woman.
True.
Right? So maybe it gets bigger for some people and maybe it gets smaller for other people.
Totally. So it just changes size.
It changes size. Yeah. And it's also not on exactly the same spot on all women. The farther it's located from the vaginal opening, the harder time it can be for people to reach orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So on average, women whose clit is around 5 to 6 millimeters away from the vaginal opening reported rarely or never reaching orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I read.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's the clitoris.
Yeah.
So a little bit about the history of the clitoris. Throughout history, doctors have advocated for the removal of the clitoris to cure mental illnesses such as depression and schizophrenia.
And hysteria.
And hysteria.
Which we talked about.
This pesky little problem of women unnaturally desiring sex needs to be removed.
All while I was reading about this, I kept thinking of spoiler alert, sorry, but that third or fourth episode of The Handmaid's Tale, which the first season, old season, which I haven't been able to watch after this episode when, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
Can't watch it. Yeah, I've sworn the show off now.
It's hard.
Yeah, I can't watch it. We're living it. How can we watch it?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing is I found a lot of women actually were fine with watching it because they're like, yeah, this makes sense. And men have been like, it's too hard to watch. And I'm like, yeah, because you're not. This is a pretty natural, normal fear.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if I had watched it when it first came out, I would have been able to get through it. But now it's it doesn't feel like a dystopia. It feels like what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And now it's too hard to watch.
Totally.
Anyway, that's what I was thinking about.
In ancient Greece, lesbians or women who actively desired sex were often considered witches, despite the fact that your husband could have 16 lovers and be off at the bathhouses with young men. And in medieval times, it was referred to as the devil's teat.
It's my favorite part. So good.
Through which the devil could suck your soul. The witch trials are a great example of the war against women, which hasn't stopped.
Certainly hasn't.
That's why we have The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually a book that was called The Malleus Maleficarum by Heinrich Kramer and Jacob Sprenger, which was published in 1468, and it was a guide used to find witches. And it suggested that the clit was, as you said, the devil's teat, and that if clitoral tissue were found in a woman, it would prove her status as a witch.
Oh my God.
So if the clit became engorged during stimulation, which the woman was declared a witch. So I guess we're witches.
Kind of like when they put you in the water and saw if you drowned and they're like, oh, she drowned, she wasn't a witch.
Yeah, but now she's dead.
Totally.
But if she didn't drown, but I know we've talked about this before, but probably everybody drowned.
Oh, everybody did drown.
So at what point do you say this doesn't work?
Oh, I think that's why they just started burning people. So Hippocrates, who I have I think we have discussed before.
Mm-hmm.
Father of medicine, apparently was one of the first like documented in terms of like talking about the clitoris. And I quote, this is what he said. Once a woman is rubbed and her womb titillated, a lustful itch overwhelms her down by her clitoris and the pleasurable feelings and warmth expand throughout the rest of her body. But if you remember correctly, he also coined the term hysteria,
mm-hmm.
the wandering womb.
Yep.
And he charmingly refers to female genitalia as shameful parts.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah.
I wonder if he thought like he could anchor the uterus to the clitoris.
Yeah.
like a kite.
or like have like a little like a throw over the ship anchor.
Yeah.
And just kind of be like, let's see if it catches. Mm-hmm. Keep it here.
Hippocrates hated women.
And then there was Galen, who is a Greek physician,
mm-hmm.
Who based all of his information about human anatomy on dogs, pigs, and monkeys.
Yeah.
But then when they started dissecting human bodies, they were almost entirely male, which is problematic.
Obviously.
And Galen thought that the female anatomy is basically an inferior or unfinished version of the male anatomy. And his hypothesis was that men have enough body heat to grow their parts on the outside. So it's like alligator eggs, you know, if like the eggs are under a certain temperature, they're female. And if they're over a certain temperature, that doesn't work.
So women are just deformed men who just didn't.
Cold deformed men.
Cold deformed men who couldn't grow a penis in the womb.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dope. Cool. Yeah. That doesn't.
Totally checks charged.
Out. Totally checks out with chromosomes. Got it. Cool science, man. Oh, yeah. So this is where the devil's teat happened in 1486. The Malleus Maleficarum. How do you say it? Malficarum? Barcarum? Ficarum?
Malafarticum.
Malafarticum. He's the one who referred to the devil's teat.
Yeah. Did you get...
Where you can suck out his female victim's soul.
I wonder if this is where... what's it called when people get occupied?
Possessed?
Yeah. I wonder if this is where like possession came from.
Oh.
Because I feel like it's more often they talk about women being possessed than men being possessed.
Of course.
And it's all because of the clitoris.
Well, it's also like possessed is almost like also, it's not a mental illness, but women were more often, and still are, that they have a mental issue versus
right
any other issue.
Right.
So absolutely. Possession, of course, that's a woman's thing.
Yeah. So Andreas Vesalius wrote in 1543 his book, The Fabric of the Human Body. He thought that the clitoris only existed in hermaphrodites, and he also did this really cool thing where he drew vessels mm-hmm. in between the vagina and the breasts because he thought that menstrual blood turned into milk.
Oh,
so
it's I want to like know what his logic behind was.
And I want to know what his drawings look like.
Ooh,
you know,
we should find those.
Yeah, and like, did you? I mean, I guess like you don't study women at all because like I've had my period for a while and I've never produced milk, and so like. What about, like, is it that your body sometimes expels the menstrual blood as blood and sometimes it turns it into milk?
Like turning water into wine.
Exactly. But, like, less awesome. I would so much rather.
I would love for my menstrual blood to turn into wine. I would save so much money.
Oh, I was talking about the milk.
Sorry. Yeah. I know. I got distracted on my own.
That would be awesome. Like, a whole new. It's like, now then we could make, like, the menstrual wine glass. Instead of the menstrual cup.
Diva cups into wine glasses.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a while, like around this time, the medical books, they started writing medical books in vernacular a little bit
mm-hmm.
instead of having them in Latin. But people were really upset about it because they were like, then anybody can read them. So it's like anybody can educate themselves about
right.
anatomy. How horrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my virgin amazing. Eyes.
Jesus. Yeah. That's just another way to like hide education from people.
Yeah. It started.
Keep
early.
Them down. Keep yep. them down. 1559, Italian anatomist Realdo Colombo erroneously claims to have discovered the clitoris, which he called the amor veneris.
They're just all the same. I discovered the clitoris.
I found the clitoris. I put my flag on it.
Yeah.
He described it as both a source of female sexual pleasure and also female sperm.
Oh, wow. We have sperm now?
Yeah, apparently we have sperm, which is great. What do we need men for?
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.
But he did... He did, however, assert that I think he was the first person to assert that the clitoris is made out of erectile tissue.
Oh, okay.
So he got that right.
Yeah.
So.
That helps.
We'll call it even.
Sure. we're feeling nice today.
Yeah, we are.
In the 1610s, that's weird. 1610, The word clitoris is first coined possibly from the Greek clitoris, which means little hill.
Which means a nice soccer shoe. Or little hill.
I love your like devious laugh. Little hill sounds so cute.
Right?
It's like the first time it's referred to something as cute.
Yeah. Yes. In 1672, this is awesome. There was this guy, Rainier de Graaf, who actually got it right, it seems.
Oh.
He said this thing, which is that if these parts, this is a quote, if these parts of the pudendum had not been endowed with such an exquisite sensitivity to pleasure and passion, no woman would be willing to take upon herself the irksome and 9 months long business of gestation, the painful and often fatal process of expelling the fetus, and the worrisome and care-ridden task of raising children. A fucking men.
Wow.
Yeah. If sex wasn't pleasurable, we wouldn't do it
as
much. You know, we'd be like cats with the barbed penises.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we wouldn't want it. No. I think it's a long-held belief that women don't enjoy sex as much as men.
Yeah.
And that's horribly wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's another conversation.
Did you know that there was a prominent male midwife named William Smelly? I put that in bold so I wouldn't forget to tell you. I don't know what
amazing.
He did. I literally just
it
read.
It doesn't matter.
William Smelly laughed for like 15 minutes.
Doesn't matter what he did.
And was like, that's going in.
It doesn't. I don't care if it's relevant or not. It is going in.
William Smelly.
Like a penis. Sorry. Bad joke.
Great joke.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So 1844, Greek anatomist George Ludwig Kobelt, I don't think that's right, but whatever.
We're going with it.
Draws the external and internal clitoris in detail for the first time.
Ah, yay.
Yay.
And like, then there's this other thing that keeps happening over time, which is that like the clitoris disappears and then comes back.
Totally. Which is so bizarre.
It's so bizarre. So
or like the one where there's drawings of a woman and there's just a triangle drawn over her vagina.
Yeah, because God forbid you see it. Just thinking about the clitoris being like lost and refound. So Gray's Anatomy, when it was published in 1901, the clitoris was in it, but then it was absent from the edition released in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
And this has so much to do with like what's going on. It's always an expression of like our political and social reality, whether this thing is in or not in.
And fear of the clitoris.
Yeah.
Which is fear of women.
Yeah.
And their pleasure.
Exactly.
So this is right before Grey's Anatomy. In 1884, human procreation is seen on the microscopic level for the first time, conclusively debunking the idea of female sperm and revealing that clitoris plays no active role in childbearing. As a result, doctors largely assume it's useless and not deserving of further study.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which is like what we always talk about, that we are really only valued for our reproductive capabilities. And this is also why there's no studies done on the effect that an episiotomy can have on your sexual pleasure.
Yeah. And first of all, like the fact that our pleasure is just pushed aside for fear or for like shame.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, but even in addition to that, it's also dangerous to do that because it is connected to so many things down there. So it actually does have an effect sometimes during surgery on childbearing or other surgeries that are related to that area. So like that's something that we need to discuss fully.
Yeah, like it wasn't said until later, like recently, mm-hmm. that the clitoris is important for understanding immunal health.
Yeah.
And for like it's a part of our body.
Yeah.
You know?
And we should just learn about it just based on the fact that it is pleasurable and that is what its sole use is. But it is also important to know that like damage to that means could mean damage to other parts of your organs.
Yeah, it's like, why do we know more about the tonsils than the clitoris?
Which is another thing that we want to talk about with STDs.
Tonsils?
Well, just because like essentially STDs are treated so taboo and shamed. Like things like gonorrhea and chlamydia mm-hmm. are essentially like colds.
Right.
You take medication for a week and then you're done.
And
but it's so
fine.
Shameful because it's involved with sex. But like it's I was listening to a gynecologist talk about it and she was like, it's the same thing as having strep throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, if you get gonorrhea
virus.
Of the throat is literally it's strep throat. She was like, you just have to take antibiotics to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But we treat it.
Yeah. And if you get strep throat, everyone's like, oh no, I'm so sorry. But if you get gonorrhea, you're like this disgusting whore bag.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Anyway, so next.
Freud?
Yes. Let's do Freud.
Ugh. Yeah.
So Sigmund Freud delivers another nail in the clitoral coffin with the publication. Thank you. I love the supportive laughs.
Yep.
With the publication of 3 essays on sexual theory, which indicted clitoral orgasms as a symptom of women's sexual immaturity.
Yeah, it's like the lesser orgasm.
Yeah. Healthy adult female orgasms ought to be vaginal, according to Freud.
Yeah, he had like a system of evaluating different orgasms that he could never himself experience,
mm-hmm.
which is like so fun, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, he said that he thought, like, his idea was that the clit would basically be like, here, vagina, have this.
Yeah.
You know, that it would just like pass its feelings onto the vagina. Like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm just a bimbo clit. Here, vagina. You know, like that's what I was imagining.
Yeah. It's super frustrating. And all of our studies are obviously based in like heteronormative and all by men about female anatomy that just assumes stimulation by a penis was necessary to orgasm. And that's not
right.
the reality.
Because like, God forbid you're not useful.
Exactly. And I think that's the fear is that like, well, what do we do? Like the fact that we don't need them for sexual pleasure is such an ego.
Right. But it's like, it doesn't bother. I'm sure that there are some women that it doesn't bother me if like someone that I'm seeing like fucking can get themselves off. Like, yeah, fucking go for it, dude.
Well, it's also weird because I think it's weird because it's so centered around the penis itself.
Yeah.
Whereas like you can still get me off even if it's without a penis. Why does it have to be with the penis? Like,
right.
You know, don't get me wrong. I love penis. I do. Something I don't want to do, but I do. But I do. I love it. And I like, but I also think it's ridiculous that like if you can't stimulate a woman with your penis, then you are somehow useless, which isn't true. Like if you're with your partner, there are so many other ways to stimulate them, and like you can do both or more.
Yeah, and it doesn't make, because your partner is interested in getting off in different ways, doesn't make you any less important. Or you know what, like dudes, some women don't want to fuck you.
Yeah,
some dudes don't want to fuck you.
Yeah,
lots of dudes don't. That's lots of dudes do.
We all have to deal with people who don't want to fuck us.
Yeah, happens to all of us. Did you know that Maria Bonaparte thought that she might have been partially correct, that her inability to achieve pleasure had to do with the location of the clit, and she thought that her clit was in the wrong place. So she had hers moved.
Where?
I don't know. I stopped reading.
Oh my God, where did it go?
Onto her finger. No, I think I think she just had it like slightly moved, but it's like,
what?
Like, how did they reattach it? Like, there's a lot of nerve endings in there.
I feel like she would have lost sensation for that.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Sorry, before we leave Freud.
Yeah.
Freud kind of made it like the reality is that penetration in penises may not even be necessary for orgasm. And so like that's where the patriarchy swooped in and was like, no.
Yeah.
Now, women in their clitoris are seen as posing a particular threat to social order. Women are either respectable enough to not deign to find pleasure, or they are a necessary evil for men to relieve their lusts.
Yeah, it's like the same thing as, you can totally look at this in terms of like school uniforms. Like I remember like being yelled at in high school for wearing spaghetti strap tank tops because boys couldn't concentrate,
mm-hmm.
and it was my fault.
Totally.
So it's like this idea that like the wiles of the woman corrupts the men's minds.
Absolutely.
You know, and
like you can't control yourself.
And that all feeds into fucking rape culture, dude.
Absolutely.
It's all like, this is the
basis. I can't help it. It's biological.
Yeah, this
Fuck
is
you.
All of this ignorance, this willful ignorance of women's pleasure and our autonomy and our ability to make choices in a situation. All of that like intentional hiding of that information from the population makes rape culture possible.
Totally.
And further disempowers people.
Yeah, and I also like, I'm sorry, I refuse to believe, like Mom's fiance said that to me where he was like, men can't control themselves. I'm like, that is a terrible thing to say. I was like, what are we, animals? Like, we haven't evolved to like control ourselves. Do you poop in public? Do you like, you know what I mean? Like control
sometimes.
Sometimes if I have to, but like control your fucking urges every single day. And you're trying to tell me that my shoulder out is going to affect men in some way that they can't control themselves, and so they take me over.
Yeah, it's like give dudes some more credit. You know what I mean?
That's like, what stop. I mean. It's like, you are not simple like amoebas here.
You're doing a disservice to everybody.
And also, like, men get high fives for penetration, and women are like caged in by expectations of purity and virginal.
Yeah,
crap.
Yeah, it's fucking nonsense.
It's such a double standard.
And it has like really, like, besides rape culture, which is a really big deal, it also has a really, really huge impact on our health in general. Like, if we don't understand the clitoral tissue and how everything connects, then like they don't, doctors don't, aren't careful when they give C-sections, mm-hmm. when they do hysterectomies, as I said earlier, when they perform episiotomies, because they impact women's sexual pleasure, which like, think about what it would feel like to all of a sudden not to have enjoyed sex and to all of a sudden just not anymore.
Yeah.
By no fault of your own. And like how the shame that you would feel based off of that. Like, yeah. I can't get pleasure from this anymore.
Yeah.
Because people didn't value your bodily autonomy. It's really sad. Pivot.
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 Rebecca.
Jesse.
Did you know that the FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their feminine care products?
No.
Well, guess who does?
Who?
Our sponsor, Lola, which is a woman-run, woman-centered, and environmentally and socially responsible company that offers a line of tampons, pads, liners, lubes, condoms, and they don't have the toxins that all the big brands have.
Wow, that's a plus.
I love me a healthy vagina.
You and me both, girl.
Nobody likes mystery fibers. Not in the batch.
Take it outside.
What else does Lola do, Rebecca?
For every purchase, Lola donates feminine care products to homeless shelters across the United States.
That's fucking baller.
Yeah, it is.
I love that.
Me too.
People should do more of that. But seriously.
Tampons for all.
Let us tell you how cool it is to have tampons and lube delivered straight to your door.
So how cool is it?
It's pretty freaking cool. And for 30% off of your first month subscription, you can visit mylola.com and enter welcome30 when you subscribe.
You can welcome Lola to your vagina.
You sure can. We did.
I've got some great news.
What's the great news?
Welcome to My Vagina is now being sponsored by Simple Health.
What? That's so cool.
I know. It is a birth control subscription that fits your life. So it makes getting birth control as easy as it should be by making it convenient and affordable with online prescriptions and free home delivery.
Delivered right to your god darn door.
It's free with most insurances, but if you don't have insurance, don't worry. It starts at $15 a month. So this is awesome for me because when I used to have to go to the pharmacy to get my birth control, it was a fucking nightmare because it cost $80 a month and I would get all pissed off every time I walked in there because it wasn't fair because birth control should be affordable. And you know what makes birth control affordable? Simple Health. Don't miss your chance to try Simple Health for free with our code. Just go to simplehealth.com/welcome or by entering the code welcome at checkout. And we just want to remind you that Simple Health is not a replacement for routine checkups with your doctor. So make sure to keep getting your pap smears, your pelvic exams, and all around checkups. So go online and get your first month free. So simplehealth.com/welcome.
We should get a jingle for pivots. So in the 1920s, gynecologist Helena Wright found from her patients that many women viewed sex as a matrimonial duty. They weren't even sure where they would find pleasure in the act of sex.
Yeah, it becomes like a duty. Like, okay, now, can you imagine like how anxious and nervous you'd be about it?
Yeah.
How much pressure is put on you?
Dude, sex is so much better when two people are enjoying it. I feel like that's such a silly thing to even have to say, but like, you know?
But like when the whole conversation is about men's pleasure and like, and we are just like, recipients of it but not experiencers of it.
Yeah.
And like that detracts from men's pleasure also. So right. Really, even if your whole goal is only men's pleasure, you should care about women's pleasure to increase men's pleasure.
Totally. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like you know, God.
Yeah. Ah! I wanna yell. If the other person's like into it, like obviously it's gonna be more fun for everyone.
Yeah.
Unless you're a fucking sadist.
Right?
In response, she wrote multiple books in female pleasure and how to approach the clitoris. In 1953, Alfred Kinsey published Sexual Behavior in the Human Female, which reoriented the clitoris as the primary source of female orgasm. Kinsey was, I'm sure he didn't do everything right, but I feel like he...
Who does?
True, you know? But I feel like he was a really big... Kinsey comes up for me so much in terms of how he moved sex forward, especially for women, actually.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it doesn't... You know,
as an ally.
You know? There are good allies out there. And when men control the narrative, as much as we would love to see women, like as much as we're so excited about the fact that Leona Chalmers invented the Diva Cup, it takes sometimes, unfortunately, we live in a patriarchal society and it takes a dude having a platform to push these things forward to actually make an impact, to open the doors for the rest of us to do some other cool shit.
Yeah.
So like good on him for, you know.
Do it.
all that shit.
In 1998, Australian urologist Helen O'Connell published a landmark paper describing the clitoral complex that rivals the penis in size. In 2005, her MRI scan of the internal clitoral structure would additionally confirm the external glands most people had assumed to be the extent of the clitoris, is just the anatomical tip of the iceberg composed of, like we said earlier, at least 18 distinct functional parts. She described the sheer scope and size of the clitoris. An unerect clitoris, most of which is not visible, could be up to 9 centimeters long. Longer than, say, an unerect penis.
Exactly. But actually, I learned that it wasn't until 1981 that the Federation of Feminist Women's Health Clinics created the first anatomically correct images of the clitoris.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
Okay.
But 1981.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I don't think she...
less than 40 years ago.
I think it's... it definitely ran around the internet for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't think she even...
Here I go! Catch me if you can!
I think it was... like, people were like, oh, it wasn't discovered until Helen O'Connell. And I think she just... like did a paper that like moved it forward in a different way. So I think that is a common misconception.
And it's also really, you know, it's important because previous to all of this kind of stuff, when they, you know, they would basically show the vagina as a gaping hole.
Yeah.
Which for me is like, is just basically being like, this purpose of this is for insertion of a penis.
Of course.
And
yeah.
I need to pat myself on the back and make the gaping hole huge because all of us have giant dicks.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck right off.
It's also a disservice because I feel like the, in a lot of the anatomical books, the labias are all symmetrical, which isn't accurate, and most often it is, they are not symmetrical.
Yeah.
So
they're just living their lives over here, you know. Also, dudes, we have a pee hole just for peeing.
Yeah, three holes down there, guys.
Yeah,
poop
three
hole,
vaginal,
urethra.
Yeah, I love how it's poop hole, and then you go into,
I know what
stuff.
I said.
That's the
I start with poop.
Yeah, you got to.
I did. I went backwards, guys. Backwards to front. Should I say it again?
Just in case.
Should I say it again?
Yeah, maybe just to make sure.
Urethra Franklin. Franklin.
That's what I was going to say. Urethra Franklin.
Urethra. Can I say? I know urethra.
Yeah, that random R is really
urethra. I can say urethral better than I can say urethra.
Yeah.
So it's urethra, vaginal canal, poop hole.
Poop hole,
not anus. I like how I also did like all the anatomical, like the right words, and then I was like poop hole.
Poop hole.
So in 2009, French surgeon Pierre Fold and I'm going to say this wrong. Sorry.
Odile Fiode.
Busen? I have Busen.
I have Odile.
I have Odile Busen.
Oh, I have her as, maybe she got married.
Oh, I don't know.
Let me look it up. Her maiden name was Fiode, and then she got married and had Busen added, or it might be.
Okay.
It might be back the other way. So,
well, Odile.
The same person.
They published the first 3D ultrasound of the clitoris. And Dr. Folds I don't think this is the case anymore, but he was the only person for a really long time who actually tried to repair damage caused by female genital mutilation.
Wow.
He was the only one for a really long time. And I think, I would like to think that that's not the case anymore, but.
So what's really awesome about that, about the 3D model. Mm-hmm. So they created a 3D model and you can print it. So if you have a lot of money and a 3D printer, or have a friend with a lot of money and a 3D printer, you can print a 2-scale version of the clitoris. And the purpose of this was because she looked at the French sex education system and was like, this isn't good. Like, nobody understands what the clitoris is, what it looks like, that there's more than more than the eye can see.
Right.
So she wanted to create this thing so that teachers could show students what it looks like, how big it
That's
is,
amazing.
To give them a real understanding of this very important organ.
Yeah.
So like the 3D clitoris was made partially to dispel the myths that many texts, including medical ones, spread that the clitoris is the size of it's the size of a pea. Like, medical texts will say that.
That's insane.
Yeah. So her hope is that they'll then be able to create a larger 3D model that will include the pelvic bone, the clitoris, and the vagina. So it will show how the clitoris fits into the entirety of the female genital region.
Yeah.
And it'll help better prioritize women's sexual and general health. Because, like, our sexual health matters to our overall health.
Does it?
Nah.
Fuck it. This whole show's been a joke.
Yeah. So, and, like, but then the other side of that, I was reading... a couple of different things, just that, you know, she's nervous. Odile is nervous about the climate under which this is introduced and whether or not, you know, are we just, is she just speaking to people who are already interested? You know, like, how do you get this kind of information out to the people that don't think this is important? Like, how do you get people to start prioritizing proper sex education?
Yeah. And listening to them.
Yeah. Rather than speaking, like preaching to the choir, essentially.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, because it needs to be in the hands of people who don't want it.
Exactly.
Honestly.
That's when it's the most valuable.
Yeah.
What would you say to your clitoris if you could say something to
Hi.
It?
Hi.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for being you.
Yeah. I feel like I should write a letter to my clitoris. Thank
you. You should.
Thank you. And I'm sorry that our society has seen you as a deformity instead of what you are, which is glory.
Or like a cold, underdeveloped penis.
Yeah.
That's not right. I mean, it's got a hood and everything to keep it warm.
It's got a hood.
Come on.
It's got a little hoodie. It looks like a wishbone. What are you mad at?
So cute. And like wishbones are good luck.
Wishbones are good luck.
So we're basically carrying around luck with us between our legs.
Don't break it in half at Thanksgiving, though.
No, do not.
Do not do that.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I did like this one quote from Dr. Folds.
Such a good name for somebody who deals with like women's genitals. Dr. Folds, what could be better?
Dr. Pockets.
William Smelly.
William Smelly.
God, I love him. We are dedicating this episode to William Smelly, yes. Whoever you are.
Oh my God, absolutely. I really like this quote by him because I think it encompasses a lot. But he said, the medical literature tells us the truth about our contempt for women. For three centuries, there are thousands of references to penile surgery, nothing on the clitoris except for some cancers or dermatology, and nothing to restore its sensitivity. The very existence of an organ of pleasure is denied medically. And I thought that was like on point.
Yeah, I mean, we say this about history all the time that, you know, it's the stories, the history that's captured is the history of the powerful.
Yeah.
And the same thing is, you know, we have this idea that science is all facts and is not at all swayed to who is writing it or what the political climate is or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the reality is that science is the same. Science mm-hmm. also shows disdain for marginalized populations and continues to undervalue experiences and to promote erroneous and damaging ideas that just, even though there's no evidence for it.
Yeah.
It's like the things that aren't studied, like there's so much to be said about the things that we choose not to study.
Yeah.
Because why?
Yeah.
You know?
But it's, I don't know, it's also hypocritical to me in terms of like how we deny this thing just based on the fact that it is only meant for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's very taboo for a woman who like deigns to have, you know, any sexual pleasure. And yet, you know, and so like you're supposed to keep your certain amount of purity. And yet we have porn sites where women are like shrieking and like, you know, getting pounded or jizzed on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, listen, like there, I just think there should be more types of porn.
Yeah.
But my point is that like we are there for men in the way that they want us to be.
Right.
Or we, and it's also like the Madonna and the whore again, you mm-hmm. know, where it's like you are, if you either are pure enough for me to marry or I have to like release my own male prowess on you, but
right.
then you're tainted as a woman.
Right, right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's you're either the marrying type mm-hmm. or you're the fucking type.
Totally.
And it's, yeah, it's really fucked.
Yeah.
And just, you know, yeah, talking about porn, it's like,
well, that's for men.
Right, exactly.
So we're either for your view, your vision, or nothing.
Right.
Why do we bother with you?
But then, like, we have to think about the feedback loop. And so, you know, the more that sort of porn is pushed forward, the more that's the mainstream understanding of what sex should be.
Yeah.
And it just continues to imprint itself on our culture.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird because they either hid the organs in a lot of the anatomy books, or they would sexualize the outside parts. So it would be this, they would sexualize in the anatomy books, like hairdos and jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there'd be like an open section in her body where you'd see the inside.
Yeah.
So it's like, there'd be what they called fugitive sheets, which covered the female genitalia.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, why are we sexualizing anatomy books? That's just proof of the pudding.
Exactly. And in conclusion, long live the clitoris.
Long live the clitoris! My veg, like an operatic ballad. Yo veg, like grandpa's cabbage. And my veg, effortless. Yo veg, post ads on Craigslist. My veg, score aloe vera. Yo veg, look like Tony Danza. My veg, like tasting heaven. Yo veg, manages... Nicole, you there?
Yes. So vagina parties started, I want to say 4 years ago. I was trying to reclaim my intellectual life and was going on this independent study of sorts and trying to read all these feminist writers. And then I had no one to talk to about it. So my friend gave me the idea of a vagina party, but I didn't know what that was. I just know I wanted to have one. So I just started creating games and sort of talking points. And then we had our first vagina party, and the theme was, what is a feminist? So since then, I've tried to have different ones every time. And it's just an opportunity for women to rebuild their community and have a physical reminder that there are people around them who love them and care about them. And I wanted to create a space where we could talk about things that are relevant to us and to the other women or people who identify as female around us. And the sort of that being an empowering experience.
Yeah, whatever it is, say it.
Yeah, I wanted to try to rebuild that sense of strong female bonds. My family was military, my husband is military. So I don't have people that I've grown up with my whole life to go to their house and talk about things. I don't have a sister. So I wanted to create that. I wanted to recreate the village, recreate the tent.
Yeah.
And have fun. And, yeah.
Aw.
I start with my friends. Believe it or not, my friends from church.
Yes.
And it's always the first time I invite people, it's always kind of like I send the email and then I'll text everybody individually like, hey, this is my party. Please don't think it's spam. It's not going to be sex toys. It's not going to be mirrors. Just come and have fun.
Yeah.
At the first party, people are usually willing to give me the benefit of the doubt. And then by 30 minutes in, they're all in.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to figure out how to invite a community that I don't know in person. You know, I don't know personally. I just haven't reached that point yet.
Yeah. And like, with something like that, it's nice to have icebreakers, I assume, like a vagina game.
Right. So we have every party has two games, a discussion, and then some sort of art component.
Mm.
So it's not just like talking about your feelings or, you know, a lecture, something. Fun. Yes.
Oh my God, yes. Yes. Yep.
Yes. You figure that out and I figure that out. Yes.
There are a lot of
right.
I want to have vagina parties all the time.
You can go to the store. So I have a store where you can, you know, download your own vagina party or download the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think people know exactly what they are yet. So they're still like, that looks fun, ..
I feel like mine is a lot more fabric involved. Like, I've always thought of turning my house into like a uterus. Like, you're walking down the fallopian tubes now. And then when you get into the living room, you're
that
into the ovary.
Amazing.
I know. I'm great at taking compliments.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Welcome to My Vagina.
It's time for us to slide on out of here. You can find us on Instagram at Welcome to My Vagina.
On Twitter at Welcome to My Vag. Soon to be on Medium.
You can donate to us at Patreon, LiberaPay, PayPal, and Venmo at Welcome to My Vagina.
Yeah, become a monthly subscriber.
Yeah. Go to WelcomeToMyVagina.com and become a subscriber to our newsletter as well.
You can email us at WelcomeToMyVagina@gmail.com.
We like questions and fan art and jingles.
And suggestions for future episodes.
True.
Check out Jesse's awesome videos on YouTube. Just search for Welcome to My Vagina.
Check out Rebecca's awesome writing at FranklyRebecca.com. Please also remember that our amazing intro was done by Elise and Willie. If you want to hire Willie to do some videos for you or art or jingles, you can find him at Wooly Willie. That's WOOLLYWILLIE. And his Etsy shop is Wooly's Studio.
And head on over to morebanana.com to check out all of the awesome projects by our production company.
Yeah.
And thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Kate, for being our amazing, dope-ass fucking producer.
Cool.